At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
In a world that's perfect, lies a perfect little town where one team stands alone. But now, something's stirring that will change this place forever.
Perfectville.
Welcome to Perfectville, your first place podcast for your 70-point scoring top of the AFC East, undefeated in the AFC, possibly best team in the NFL, Miami Dolphins, part of the Believe Network, presented by BetOnline.ag. I am Sam Marcoux, and he is the two-time Hall of Famer. Of course, I'm talking about the good doctor himself, Dr. Christopher Colin. Doctor, how in the hell are you, my friend?
How am I? Sam, I'm wearing an Austin 316 shirt made by my wife. Appreciate it. I've always wanted this t-shirt, and I thought it was particularly perfect to wear it for this podcast because the Denver Broncos came in Miami, and they got a big-time Dallas, Texas mudhole stumped in their ass, and they came in and won. What? Not one. Not two. What? We didn't stop at three. What? Did we stop at seven, Sam? What? No. We went to 10 touchdowns, brother, and we got the mud hole stumped in them, and that's the bottom line because Stone Cold Tua said so.
Well, there you go. You said it was a Dallas-sized ass-whooping. I'll say it was a Miami-sized ass-whooping, but you're right. 10 touchdowns on the day. No field goals. No defensive touchdowns. No special teams touchdowns. All offense all day. Five in the air. Five on the ground. Four by the rookie Devon Achane. Four by Raheem Mostert. It's just a fantastic, fantastic, amazing. Four, by the way, by Tua Tagovailoa throwing the ball. It was a showing like we have never seen, quite literally, ever. In Miami or in the NFL, unless you're very, very old, which neither one of us are. It was, put it this way, Chris. The Miami Dolphins scored 10 touchdowns in that game. The next highest scoring team in the league is the Los Angeles Chargers, who have scored 10 on the season. I mean, that is ridiculous. I mean, it's just, like I said on Twitter, I was at a loss for words. At some point, I looked at this and went, well, it's got to end, right? And then just kept going, just kept running, just kept throwing, just kept getting the ball. Mike White's throwing balls to Robbie Chosen for 68 yards. I mean, it was a crowning of the Miami Dolphins as an elite franchise in the 2023 NFL football season.
I was thinking about this day at work, Sam. You and I have been doing this quite a long time. And we had already discussed that we're going to record and do a show today. And I thought to myself, I'm like, this is the best we've ever been hosting this show. Yep. I'm watching every national television pundit just gawking over us. They're calling Mike McDaniel a revolutionizer of the NFL, of offense. We're at CFL levels of types of ways we're doing routes per Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show. I mean, like, the way we're being talked about right now, and they're not saying it's we got lucky, you know, two wins on the road, our home opener, we put up 70 points, and the Denver Broncos, albeit 0-3, aren't a terrible football team. They're not like just embarrassment. We went out there, Sam. Here's the thing, and I know people are talking about this, but we haven't talked about this. not only did we have 70 points, Samuel, it was like 8 minutes and 50 seconds left in the fourth quarter. We could have scored more. We backed down. Like, we could have went to 100. It was unbelievable. I've never seen anything like this. And it's the talk of the world. It's the talk of the NFL until Taylor Swift went to a football game.
Yeah, you know, 3 hours later, everyone's like, oh, my God, a Swiftie moment, right? So who cares? But, yeah, 70 points, sure, whatever. But Taylor Swift was snuck into the suite in a popcorn bag. That's okay. You know, look, I looked at this. The most ridiculous thing I think I heard was, why didn't you kick the field goal? And McDaniel's like, well, we're not looking to pile on points. I was like, yeah, because 70 is a comfortable lead, but 73 would be a bridge too far. I wanted them to kick the field goal. I wanted the record. How about you?
They would have blocked it. I told my whole family, like, we're going to go for this record. McDaniel's going to go for it, because when is the other chance he's going to have to do this? And it's either going to be a bobbled snap, or they're going to block it, and we're going to be like, God damn it. You know, that's all anybody's going to talk about. I'm fine with what he did. We literally scored 70 points. It's all anyone's talking about. It's all people are going to talk about for a long time, because this offense isn't going anywhere. Right. And Sam, we did it without the Waddle playing at all. He's on the sideline, our second best receiver, one of the best receivers in the league, top 100, not even playing. And our offense was still that explosive.
Yeah, I just imagine the poor bastard who was like betting during the game. That's like, they're going to break the record, and they just start going to bet online and then slamming money down. And of course, it didn't happen. But that's okay. And everyone would be okay with that, because A, number one, football is back, and BetOnline is your number one information source for all your sports wagering info, with all the up to the minute stats, news, scores, and matchup breakdowns. Get the latest game odds, spreads, and totals from the NFL and college football at your fingertips with BetOnline's real time updates on statistics, news, and odds from week one all the way to the college football playoff and the Super Bowl, where the Miami Dolphins might be. BetOnline gives you access to the best football promotions and contests available anywhere online. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And this game started, Chris, with a touchdown, and it ended with a touchdown and eight other touchdowns in between. And that was just from the Miami Dolphins, 70 to 20, nothing I have ever seen like it. But this is how it goes in this business, Chris. We put up 70 points, and all of a sudden I have to retire Arondé Bagston. The baggie is, we put the old man to sleep here, Chris. We've been doing the show for about 7 years. Arondé Bagston has been a valued member of the team here with Chris Cullen, Sam Marcoux, and of course Arondé Bagston, our mascot. But if you're checking out this show on any area where you are actually listening to this show, you'll see that we do have a brand new logo, brand new cover art, if you will. So thank you. Shout out to Carter and his team over at Believe and their marketing department for putting this together for us. New season, new winning percentage, new us, Chris. What do you think?
I love it. I think it's clean. I think it looks good. I think it represents our show as far as the progress we've made with upgraded equipment and upgraded ways we do our show. We have a fantasy football league now. I'm 0-3. And we're good podcast hosts, just terrible at fantasy takes. Do not listen to either of us on fantasy takes. No. But no, I think it's cool. I think it's clean. I think it fits with the new kind of regime for Mike McDaniel. He's always wearing that sweet dabbed out watch, and it looks like a mobster in a Goodfellas movie, you know, a background mobster with his big glasses and stuff and this slick back hair. You know, it fits. And I think this is something we'll talk about maybe next episode. Maybe I'll tease it. But somebody on Twitter said, I think it was, who was it? He's a radio host. He has a really weird voice. He talks like this. He's a former lineman. I don't know. He's on CBS, I think.
All of them?
Yeah. But he said we're like maybe one more game away from needing a name. The greatest show on turf. I saw somebody on Twitter say the greatest show on surf. I think that's great.
That's been around since last year. I like Ocean's 11. I think that makes a lot of sense considering where we are geographically and the fact that there's 11 people on there. I think those are pretty damn good in my opinion. But
Us in your ideas, and we'll pick the best one next week, maybe.
Because we are the authorities. We are the co-mayors and co-founders of the town of Perfectville and all the citizens of Perfectville. Give us your best nickname for this Miami Dolphins offense and team, and we'll pick the winner. And like you said, tweet it out or X it out or whatever the appropriate vernacular is now for the social media formerly known as Twitter. But speaking of, even though they have a new name and even though we have a new, you know, look, some things never die, Chris, and that means it's time for a little tiny version of Elite Tweet or Delete Tweet, your favorite tweets and your least favorite tweets Sam Marcoux, Chris Cullen judges them and tells you whether or not they should stay forever or be deleted in embarrassment. Are you ready, Chris?
Born ready, buddy. I love Elite Tweet, Delete Tweet.
All right. The first tweet that you see here actually comes from Chris Kaufman, a.k.a. at CK Parrot. Shout out to CK Parrot, longtime contributor to Miami Dolphins online fandom all the way back to the Finn Heaven days. And he just, matter of fact, he tweeted a picture, I believe this is Photoshopped, of Wilt Chamberlain. But instead of Wilt Chamberlain's face, it's Tua Tagovailoa's face. And instead of 100 for the 100 points that Wilt Chamberlain once scored in a game, it's just a paper that says 70 for the 70 points that the Miami Dolphins and Tua just dropped on the Denver Broncos' head. Elite tweet or delete tweet?
Elite tweet, because two reasons. One, it is as historic as that. And two, it could have very easily, as said prior, been 100 if yes. we really wanted to. I mean, we literally put our backups in. Mike White, like, he probably audible at the line. It was a run. And he's like, oh, I'm throwing my first touchdown at Dolphin Stadium, like Hard Rock Stadium, as a Dolphin. Like, I'm doing this. And he just goes deep to Robbie Chosen. And we could have put up 100. So it's for two reasons. I think that's an elite tweet.
Well, the rumor is that he did change. He did audible at the line, to that play. And once you have it, he's got a touchdown, and Robbie Chosen is now forever in the Miami Dolphins record books. All right, moving on. This comes from Justin Cohen at Bad Boy of Scoops. Speaking with multiple NFL owners, multiple Chris, I'm told there is a common feeling that the Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel running up the score on the Broncos was, quote unquote, disrespectful to the game of football. Elite tweet or delete tweet by Justin Cohen?
Capital D delete tweet. First of all, he got called out by Omar Kelly for this, which I thought was just it was great. It was good to see old Omar actually fighting on the right side this time. And then, you know, if you actually think about it, Samuel, these are professional football players. They're paid to stop us. We put in our backups. It's not like Tua was out there slinging it to Tyreek, getting them 300. It's not like we're forcing the ball down and just throwing 50, 60 yards other than Mike White. But like it's literally Devon Chan, who is, you know, scoring touchdowns, four of them. He had 5 yards rushing coming into this game. You know, it's not like we just went out there with LaDainian Tomlinson in his prime and kept him until 1 minute left in the fourth quarter. I'm sorry. Those are professional football players. They're paid to tackle. Their defensive coordinator, Vance Joseph, has been around long enough to try to make adjustments and fix this. We can't stop playing the game. No. If they want to do a running clock like in Pop Warner, sure. There's rules in place there. If they're up big enough, they have to run between the hash marks. And even then, the big best players still score. You got to stop them. There's nothing unprofessional about what we did. Honestly, we literally saved their face by not running it up more.
Justin Cohen is a dork and he's a nerd and he's an absolute freaking liar. He didn't talk to any NFL owners. He talked to fantasy football team owners. That is his source when he says NFL owners. What sort? Who did you talk to? Who did you talk to? What, did you run into Gloria Estefan, minority owner of the Miami Dolphins, on the red carpet or the orange carpet, and you talked to her? You freaking idiot. No, he's a liar.
There's no way an owner of an NFL football team, a billionaire, is like, oh, got a text from James Cohen or whatever the fuck his name is. Let me answer him off record. No, they're busy. They're billionaires. They're not. They're doing coke off a hooker's ass cheek. They don't care about giving Justin Cohen a breaking, you know, source. There's no way.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, furthermore, it was our backups and it was still the starters for the Denver Broncos. Robbie Chosen beat Patrick Surtain the second for that touchdown. So they were still trying, which means you still try. And by the way, people don't realize this. If you just like go half speed, you're going to get injured. Like, absolutely. You can't play this game without being fully invested, because that actually helps protect you. People don't quite understand that, but whatever. I don't never understand that mentality. Nobody was crying when we lost 62-7 all those years ago. Nobody was crying when the Baltimore Ravens, you know, completely stomped a mud hole in us, courtesy of Austin 316 a couple of years ago.
Hell yeah.
In the season opener, everyone was laughing at us. So you know what? The Denver Broncos can get laughed at. All right. This comes from Ryan Yusefi, aka at Rizmages. The Broncos brought a field goal to a TD fight with the Dolphins. Ew, look at the pores.
Yeah, that's elite. And Riz has been doing this for a very long time. That's a great tweet. Very elite.
Yeah, it is. And it's funny because like 3 points is like, yeah, you're poor. What are you? You shop at Walmart? I mean, what are you doing?
You scored 20 in an entire game? Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, we scored 21 in two separate quarters of that. If we just played the second quarter, we would have beat the Denver Broncos. That's insane to me. I agree. That is 100% elite. All right. We got a couple more here, Chris. This one comes from a certain person who used to play for the Miami Dolphins. This comes from a Vince Beagle at Vince Beagle. And this is actually a tweet that he put out there, and he's getting a lot of shit for it. And I understand why, but he says, "You're not a real Dolphins fan unless you remember this." And it was a screenshot of the Ravens Dolphins game, home opener or season opener years ago, where we lost 59-10. And then week two, where we lost to the Patriots 43-0. Is this an elite tweet or a delete tweet from former Dolphin Vince Beagle?
It's a delete tweet because he's trying to like act like he's a part of the franchise. Like you played like a shit in the bucket, dude. And I'm so glad Dolphins receipts got blocked by him by tweeting at him that we don't forget his, Jack Nicholson going gif of them signing Deshaun Watson while he was a player on the team, a teammate of Tua Tagovailoa at the time. Like, fuck you, dude. Like, get fucked. Van Ginkle's so much better as a random white outside linebacker than you. You're terrible.
Yeah, Vince Beagle was on the team that got pounded collectively 100-10.
So I don't know what he's trying to do. Is he trying to, like, be like, you know, real Dolphins fans were fans then? If so, I mean, thanks. I get it. We all have been. Have you been around Dolphins social media? There's not a bunch of new people, like, coming out like, yeah, go Finn. Finn's up. But no, it's like, we've been there. Vince, thanks. Yeah. We don't need your help. We got this.
Our generation of doll fandom, we all went through puberty together. Like, we all understand what it was 3 years ago when we were losing those games, Vince Beagle. You were on the team during a rebuild year. That's kind of what you were. You were there when we were trying to tank for people. So, no, I don't think Vince Beagle gets to hop onto the bandwagon at this point, especially considering he was the leader of the players on the team that didn't want Tua Tagovailoa to be the quarterback and instead wanted Deshaun Watson. How's that working out for Cleveland, Vince? By the way, maybe you can get a job with the Cleveland Browns since you're a free agent and not working in the NFL anymore. All right, moving on. But you mentioned Van Ginkle. I'm going to go with this one. This comes from Alan Poupar at Poupar NFL. Beat writer for the Miami Dolphins out of Canada. Fangio confirmed he reached out to Andrew Van Ginkle when he was a free agent to indicate he'd like to have him on this defense. Proved a wise decision for the Dolphins to re-sign him. Elite tweet or delete tweet? Andrew Van Ginkle being recruited by Vic Fangio.
Yeah, elite tweet and elite coaching. Way to know your roster, way to know your scheme and the player that fits it. Somebody tweeted out a video of Van Ginkle's block shedding and pursuit on a tackle for loss. I mean, that guy is just the epitome. This is a guy, Sam, we've talked about this before. That's the guy where everybody talks about Tyreek Hill. Everybody talks about Raheem Mostert. Everybody talks about Tua. Everybody talks about Waddle. Everybody talks about Jalen Phillips and Chubb and Holland that like maybe only Dolphins fans know about. I know he's been shouted out in Good Morning Football a couple times. Kyle Brandt likes him. But the Ginks, man, Van Ginkle's just one of those guys that every Super Bowl winning team has that has a great under the radar year that's been with the team for years. He is that story. He is that guy for us. And he his motor just you can't coach it. You cannot coach that motor. And I'm so glad Vic Fangio picked up that phone and did that because he's been nothing short of exceptional for us.
Andrew Van Ginkle is the Forrest Gump for the Miami Dolphins. Every significant event in that movie, Forrest Gump, just happened to be around there, right? And at some point you go, this can't be circumstance, this can't be happenstance, right? Every time a big play is happening on defense, you see those flowing locks of Andrew Van Ginkle around the ball carrier. He's tipping balls at the line. He's sacking the quarterback. He's getting fumbles. He's making fumbles happen. He's making it happen on special teams. He's getting touchdowns. He is the Forrest Gump of the Miami Dolphins. And I mean that in the nicest, most respectful way possible, Mr. Van Ginkle, because I don't want him to show up right here and be in my face as I talk about him and he thinks I'm talking shit. I am not. That guy is an absolute stud and I'm happy he's here with the Miami Dolphins for the foreseeable future.
He's almost on the level of how Eminem never mentioned the BC Boys, even out of respect, because he didn't even want to give them the opportunity to perceive him as dissing them. Like Van Ginkle, no, you're OG, bro. You're legit. We love you here in Perfect Villain. Believe me, if we didn't, we would tell you. Like,
yes,
you know that. He probably knows that. So we love the Ginks, man. I love seeing him out there running around playing. He does shit that doesn't even show up on the stat sheet, but he makes the guys around him better. And he's a force to be reckoned with, man. And it's just like those Patriot teams that were winning in the 2000s that just had these random ass dudes showing up and balling out for him. Like, that's what you need as a complete football team.
It is. So speaking of complete football team, there is a guy out there here, Chris. Last one. We'll end on this one. Elite tweet or delete tweet. Michael Lombardi at M Lombardi NFL. You said that we are a complete team. He says Miami is a solid team, but not a 70-point team, nor are they good enough on defense to be invincible. Elite tweet or delete tweet from Mr. Lombardi.
Well, the only thing you got going for you in football is that you're named after the Hall of Fame coach and trophy that we're trying to win and we're going to win. Honestly, stupid fucking take. He woke up trying to like be like, oh, I'm going to go against the grain here. Everyone is talking about this team. And honestly, if you have this offense, your defense can kind of suck a little bit one game or another and give up 30, 40 points. If we gave up 40 points Sunday, Sam, we would have won by 30. Like, this guy can suck a tit, delete tweet completely, and delete your fucking whole X in Twitter, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you say that they're not a 70-point team when they are very quite literally a 70-point team. Like, there's
that's
evidence.
That's what 70 means. That's what 70 points in a game means. They're a 70-point team. What does that mean?
It hurts my head, Chris. It is very much a delete tweet. I think Mike Lombardi is maybe regretting his decision to wake up and choose violence here this morning because it did not work in his favor. But that's okay, Chris, because not everybody can be a winner like the 70 team, Miami Dolphins. Anyway, you know what would have been great? It would have been great because we did actually finish the perfect season in early 1973. If we'd kicked that field goal and had 73 points, and we'd won it in 73. I think Mike McDaniel missed. I think he missed. That was his bad. That was the only coaching decision he did wrong against those Denver Broncos.
All I'm going to say, Sam, is I agree with you. And it is also the 50-year anniversary of the 73 Super Bowl. So that would have been kind of cool. Plus, Sean Payton's a fucking twat.
Yeah, and also, let's not forget the fact that Sean Payton is a twat. That is true. That is 100% true. I'd also like to point out, like, the defense isn't good enough. Okay, well, we gave up 17 points to the New England Patriots at home on Sunday Night Football, and the defense gave up 13 points to the Denver Broncos, who coming into this game had more points per possession than any other team in football. So yes, the score said 20, but seven of those came from special teams because we just sort of gave up. Like, we're like, yeah, go ahead, run that ball in. And
you
we
deserve a little bit of fun, I guess. Yeah.
You so, deserve I mean, a little fun. The defense isn't nearly as dominant as the offense is right now, clearly, but they're better than I think people are giving them credit for. That's how good the offense has been. That's
well, just it. And I totally forgot we're both on screen right now as I did my little, I want to talk next. Get used to it. We gave you the break of the fourth wall a little bit in Perfectville. But here's the thing, Sam, when the season starts, normally the defense is far ahead of the offense and the offense catches up. So if our offense is like this now, they're both going to get better. Like, this is we're in a first year system with Vic Fangio. They're just only going to get better. It's really fucking scary, man, to think about. And we're not being, at this point, we're not being just biased offense. We've done this enough. You all have listened to this enough that we will tell you if we're like, hey, here comes the shit sandwich after the sweet appetizer. Like, no, this feels different. It feels right.
No, it is 100% different. And it is 100%. Like I said, I was speechless after that game. And that's not a good thing to be if you are paid to talk about football and you're like, I have no words. I am out of words. But that's how I felt it. And I have never felt this way. I think maybe since the Wildcat game, Chris, that's the last time I could remember feeling this way where I'm like, I am absolutely dumbfounded and gobsmacked at what I just saw. And even then, that was a gimmick. This is not a gimmick. This is actually something that is sustainable. So it's sustainable, maybe even better.
And even like the upcoming opponent who we're going about to talk about, the Bills coach came out and said it just what he's doing has never been done before, what McDaniel is doing, what this offense is doing. So it'd keep me up at night as a defense coach. I have no idea how I'd fucking stop it. I don't.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Well, let's talk about that, because you're right. We're done with Elite Tweet, Delete Tweet. We're done with the Denver Broncos for the foreseeable future. Let's talk about what is staring us in the face, Chris, and that is a trip on the road again, Western New York, Buffalo, and the Buffalo Bills. You know, they're 2-1. They're not quite undefeated like the Miami Dolphins, but first place is on the line. The Miami Dolphins are going to Buffalo, and I hate the Buffalo Bills. Do you hate the Buffalo Bills?
Dude, I know you fucking do. Everybody that's listening to the show knows you hate the Buffalo Bills. Sam, we're cut from the same cloth, buddy. I fucking despise this team. And it's like the Patriots were the worst, and then they are done. And now the Bills just took right over and just fucking, it's time. It's time for us to end it and turn this narrative back to our division.
It's like the Joker and Batman. It's Superman and Lex Luthor. It is a comic book rival that will never end. The Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills. I have a feeling we're going to be doing this for quite some time, over and over and over again, because we've been doing it since this freaking 1960s here, Chris, which means I have a lot of reasons to hate the Buffalo Bills. My most hated team in all of the NFL, the Buffalo Bills. I'm going to go first. I hate the Buffalo Bills. And one of the reasons why I hate the Buffalo Bills is the fact that we, meaning the Miami Dolphins, have not won in Buffalo since December 24th, 2016. And that was in overtime, 34-31. And we only got to overtime because a guy named Andrew Franks, that's right, remember Andrew Franks, kicked a 55-yard field goal to send it into overtime. This was when Adam Gase was our coach, ladies and gentlemen. This is how we got to the playoffs. That was the last time that the Miami Dolphins went up to Western New York and beat the Buffalo Bills. It has been far too long for the Miami Dolphins. They need to right this wrong. They need to get this monkey off their back. They need to get into Buffalo and dominate, or at least squeak out. I'll take another 34-31 overtime win in Buffalo and put their stamp on this division, the AFC, and the NFL. Because if they win this game, they have a minimum 2-game lead on everybody in the AFC East with the schedule that starts to soften up after this week. So I hate the fact that it's been forever since we have won in Buffalo, Chris.
To kind of put it in perspective, Sam, the last time we won in Buffalo, my son, Zach Thomas Cullen, was 8 years old. Mm-hmm. He was eight. He wasn't even in middle school yet. He was in the middle of elementary school. This kid now, as we speak, as we record this, is a sophomore in high school and third in the county in rushing and varsity football. Like, he was 8 years old. He was eight. He was a little baby. Just sat on my lap with losing teeth and shit. It's the last time we won, and we play them there every fucking year. So that is just an embarrassing stat. It has to change. Sam, what you said is correct. Like, if we win this game, we're 4-0. We have 2 divisional wins, 4 AFC victories. That could not be any better than how we would expect to do it. But of course, the fourth game is in Buffalo, our kryptonite to the Superman, like you said. Sure. I saw you say on Twitter or on our fantasy chat, until we win in Buffalo, Josh Allen is 8-2 against the Miami Dolphins, Tua 1-4 against Buffalo. So, of course, we're underdogs, even though we put up 70 last week. This is a whole nother ball game. You're in Buffalo. They're putting them their inbred selves through tables. Like, it's a whole nother ball game. So you said what you hated. You get 2. I get 1. God, Sam, I hate to even bring this guy up. I hate it.
Oh, no.
Tasker. I fucking hate Tasker from the fucking Buffalo Bills. His stupid fucking helmet is huge because the concussions back then weren't a thing. They're just like, you know, your bell was rung and they tell you to put some dirt on it. And he was like literally seeing 3 Jim Kellys at the time. I hate Steve Tasker because he started it all. He started the Julian Edelmans. He started the Wes Walkers. He started the Amendolas of the world, of just a special teams fuck face gnat. Honestly, we have him right now in a Braxton Berrios. I love him because he's on our team. I hate him on the Jets and any other team. I fucking hate Steve Tasker. He's a terrible announcer, too. The only reason he even gets clout or they know who he is because he was on this insanely stacked Hall of Fame team with Thurman Thomas, Jim Kelly, fucking Rod Smith, and goddamn Bruce Smith. Like, they're just insane. He got carried by his pubes through the 90s, and he just, like, somehow, like, loved in Buffalo for it. Like, I fucking hate that guy.
I hated him, and I hated the fact that, like, Don Beebe was on the team too, and I could never remember which one was which and which one had the weird funky helmet and which one was just an annoying little rat fuck running around on the field. But Don Beebe was the annoying little rat fuck running around on the field. Steve Tasker was the one with the double helmet. I don't think Rod Smith was on that team. Bruce Smith was on that team. Cornelius Bennett was on that team. Andre Reed was on that team.
That's what it was. Andre Reed.
James Lofton was on that team. I mean, I Kent Hull, who I believe was their center. That's how much I hate the Buffalo Bills. I know everybody from that 90s K-Gun Marv Levy nonsense offense because it just ruined my childhood year after year after year. I agree with you. I hate everybody involved with that franchise at that time. I also hate people that are involved with the Buffalo Bills currently. There it is. There's a, if you guys aren't watching this right now, ridiculous. We are looking at the Don Beebe double helmet, or I'm sorry, the Steve Tasker. See, it happened again. This is why I hate them. Steve Tasker double helmet.
So bright.
Let's get into it. The third reason here, Chris, third reason I hate the Buffalo Bills is hey, the man. Fact that people, when they talk about Josh Allen, talk about him as an elite quarterback. There is no question in anybody's mind on a national media about Josh Allen's ability, about Josh Allen's trajectory in this league and what he can do. Yet with Tua Tagovailoa, there is still, the narrative keeps changing, but still there are all these qualifiers. Well, can he hit the long ball? Yes. Check mark. Yes, he can. Well, can he stay healthy? He's good. If he stays healthy, he's staying healthy. And now what is it? Well, he's got good coaches and good players, and it's the scheme. Anybody can play quarterback. Well, if that's true, then how come nobody else can do what Tua Tagovailoa is doing this season? So by comparison, Chris, Josh Allen in 2023, he has a QB rating of 90.3. Very good. Very respectable. Is it elite? Absolutely not. 728 yards passing, 5 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 72% completion percentage. That's a pretty good completion percentage. But 5 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 723 yards through 3 games. Oh, by the way, 2-1, lost to the Jets. And not the Aaron Rodgers Jets, the Zach Wilson Jets. Okay, by comparison, Tua Tagovailoa, QB rating of 121.9, 1,024 yards passing, 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 71% completion percentage. Same completion percentage with almost the same amount of passes by both of them. 30 points higher, 31 points higher when it comes to QB rating. 300 more yards passing and 3 additional touchdowns with 1 less interception. Tell me where the lie is. Tua Tagovailoa is better than Josh Allen, and everybody knows it, but they're afraid to admit it because once they admit it, it becomes truth for them. Josh Allen is a very good quarterback. Tua Tagovailoa is an elite quarterback. And I hate the fact that nobody is saying that other than me and possibly this guy over here.
Yeah, hi. So I am going to say that. So Tua was this same quarterback when healthy last year. He was playing out of his fucking mind.
Literally the same exact stats.
Literally the same stats in 3 games. But he even looks better. Like, I know the stats are there. Honestly, he didn't play, what, 9-10 minutes of the game on Sunday? Because we didn't need you, Tua. Go ahead and sit down. Like, we didn't need you. He is elite, and Josh Allen is elite, and it's okay to say both. But we're sitting here, and they're still talking about Tua, and they're still talking about if he stays healthy. Are they saying that about Joe Burrow? Mm. Like, are they saying, like, that about Joe Burrow? Sounds about white. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, why is Tua being judged any differently than these kind of quarterbacks? And I will point to one thing and one thing only, and it's this. There's no reason to hate this guy. He's nice. He's sweet. He's married with a kid. Like, he's fucking does charitable events and interviews to everyone that asks, signs autographs. He's never done a suck it sign like Baker Mayfield or grabbed his balls or whatever. I don't get it. I literally don't get it. It has to be one thing and one thing only. He's different. And people just are afraid of different. And it just is annoying. And until he literally wins a Super Bowl, I don't think like anybody's going to change that narrative that's already got it.
Well, I mean, some people are changing their narrative, but it's very few. I mean, people were comparing him to Joe Montana this past weekend, that which was fucking is very
that was Boomer Esiason. That
it was Boomer Esiason, which bothered me because I don't like Boomer Esiason. I don't want to like Boomer Esiason.
His name's fucking Boomer. Like, who, stupid. God, imagine yelling that out in sex. Oh, Boomer, no. Boomer, Boomer, Boomy.
I feel like a lot of Texas fans do not do that, or maybe they do behind closed doors. Who knows? But maybe they're saying
Jim Boomer Ross sooner. Is like, by God.
Boomer Sooner, 100%. So, you know, the other thing about this game that I think is very impressive is that the Miami Dolphins coming into this game against the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Bills do have a very good defense. It is going to be strength on strength. Miami Dolphins offense, Buffalo Bills defense. The Miami Dolphins are so balanced right now, Chris. 47% of all of their plays are run plays. That was not the case last year. Not at all. And if you look at last year in December, we lost that game, of course, but Raheem Mostert, who was 10 pounds lighter in terms of muscle, was running all over the Buffalo Bills. 17 carries for 130 some odd yards, angry runs, knocking them down, mowing them down. He can still run past them, and he can still run through them. And not only him, but you have Devon Achane out there, or Achane, or I don't know how to say his name anymore.
We have to relearn it, because Achane was perfect. Now it's Achane. And I just think like 4chan.
Yeah.
That's the only way I can think of it. Yeah, it's Achane. And my wife had a great point. You had one good game. Like, I don't think he can pull a Patrick Surtain right now and tell us how to – his name is spelled Achane. Like, if we keep getting that – I love you, guy. Just keep doing what you're doing, and then we'll – easily call you Achane, but that's gonna take some time.
Score 4 touchdowns and run for 200 yards against the Buffalo Bills, I'll call you whatever you want and put a mister in front of it.
Boomer.
So it's gonna be a fun game against the Buffalo Bills. I mean, I don't want to take too much away from the Buffalo Bills. Yes, I hate them. Yes, Chris hates them. Yes, all the citizens in Perfectville hate them, but they are a good team. And if they win, which historically speaking, they're favored to, I think they're -2.5 right now on Bet Online. They will be in first place, and the Miami Dolphins will be in second place, and we'll have to hear about it forever. So they cannot win, Chris. We got to figure out a way to make them not win this game. If the Miami Dolphins win, they'll have a 2-game lead minimum on all people in the AFC East. They would have 2.5 on the Patriots, and really 2.5 on the Buffalo Bills, because you beat them head-to-head. And then you get into the part of your season that's considered soft. So the Miami Dolphins could really start racking up some wins here, especially over the next couple of weeks. So the Miami Dolphins going to Buffalo. There's a couple things that we need to do. A, Chris, we need to come up with our score. We have to figure out what the final score is going to be. Are they going to win or not? But I'm going to give a shout out to a guy who I hate giving shout outs to, but he actually legit has given this show so much material, and he almost killed us. He almost pickled our liver last week because we came up with the Denver Broncos, Miami Dolphins drinking bingo game, Drinko, if you will. And Mr. Raced turned it into reality, and I want him to do it again. It is now going to be something that we do on this show. So before we get to the final score prediction of the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins, let's start filling up some squares here. What is the drinking game? What does the bingo card look like for the Miami Dolphins and Buffalo Bills on Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific? Why don't you go first? What's the first bingo card going to say? What's the first little tab?
You see a video montage of Dan Marino versus Jim Kelly, and then one of Josh Allen of Tua Tagovailoa. You drink.
You drink. There you go. Okay, how about anything showing Don Shula and Marv Levy embracing, hugging on either sideline?
Starter jackets.
Starter jackets, pro player, absolutely. You drink.
That's good. That's good. Showing highlights of Josh Allen losing to the Jets and his promo is press conference after saying he needs to be better. Drink.
All right. If they show Tua Tagovailoa being hit and falling last year in the first game and then getting back up, you drink.
I was just going to say that, you piece of shit. oh man, you should. Mike McDaniel and Steve McDermott shaking hands at midfield from previous games. Drink.
All right. What about, let's see here. How about, because we're almost to that point here. How about if they start showing how many miles the Miami Dolphins have already traveled this year? I don't think that's going to show up until after the Germany game, but they may show, because this is their third road game out of 4. How many miles have the Miami Dolphins traveled so far this season? If so, drink.
Shout out to my friend and someone I coach rugby with, Dave Corsi, he is a Broncos fan, and he took that like a fucking champ this weekend. He's just been memeing me all to death of the Dolphins losing. And then he got in a random conversation with me about how high Air Force's stadium is as far as ground level to sea level. And I don't get it. And he goes, wow, do I listen to your podcast more than you do? And I was like, fuck, you listen to my podcast? So shout out to Dave for listening. And then I was like, fuck you, we don't want to see that graphic. So that is hilarious. Shout out to Dave for that. He probably won't listen again. We're not playing the Broncos. So anyway, it's still a cool story. If they show a piece of shit Buffalo Bill fan jumping through a fucking table, you drink.
There you go. If they show a Buffalo Bill fan who is wildly out of shape and has body paint in places where body paint should not be.
We're getting drunk.
Drink.
All right. I got one. And this is actually makes me really actually upset. I should have. Fuck Steve Tasker. I should have used this. And my wife's in the other room. She's going to laugh. There is nothing worse in the fucking NFL fandom than the gigantic piece of shit looking Buffalo wing hats that these fucking loser fans in Buffalo wear that look like literal fucking orange turds are on their head because they're drums, not flats, which are fucking, that's bullshit. And they wear Buffalo wing hats. Like if you see any of those guys on your screen on Sunday from 1 to 4, you drink, because they're going to show them and they wear them proudly. And it's the dumbest hat I've ever seen in my life. Like just fucking absolute. Who approved that? Drink.
That's a good one. All right. How about this? Because it actually didn't happen at the last game, although they did talk about it. If there is a graphic showing the top five running with the ball, top speed, or anything to do with the Miami Dolphins being fast, you have to drink. You just have to. And you have to drink it faster than when the actual graphic gets off the screen itself.
You have to drink it at 22 miles per hour. So you're shotgunning beers, basically. You're Raheem Mostert-ing beers. Yeah, I mean, Sam, there's so many that we can do when it comes to this. If you see Brian Cox, a picture of him flipping off the crowd, you drink.
That's a good one. Let's end on that one because I want everyone thinking of the visual of the two middle fingers, the double bird. Appropriate that you're wearing that Austin 316 t-shirt because Cox, Stone Cold Brian Cox, walking it back, telling everybody that they're number one, showing everybody what their IQ is in Western New York. All right, Chris. So we've talked about how much we've hate the Buffalo Bills. We've talked about what happened against the Denver Broncos. We did elite tweet. We did delete tweet. We talked a little bit about the bingo / drinking game that's going to happen. It's time for it. It's time for the main event. What is the final score between your 3-0, 70-point scoring Miami Dolphins against the 2-1, legit defense at home, really don't lose to the Miami Dolphins at home, Buffalo Bills? What is the final score? Who wins? Who loses? Are we happy or are we sad Dolphins come Sunday evening?
I made it a point coming into the season to be as realistic as possible when it comes to my thoughts on the game. I don't want to get too overly excited that we won and put up 70 points last week. That's obviously not sustainable, but it is an eye-opener that our offense can, what they can do, and different facets, different players scoring. However, Buffalo is giving up, I think, 15 points a game. Like their defense is really good. Milano has our number. I mean, they just really, the home crowd is going to be nuts. Once you get to a certain like win percentage, 3-0, I guess being it, everyone wants to beat you because you're the first loss. Buffalo's coming in wanting to shut the fuck up. Dolphins win 90-10, motherfucker.
90-10. And he has embraced his inner Stone Cold, ladies and gentlemen. Christopher Cullen doing the Brian Cox impression, slamming a beer. Slamming it against his head. 90-10. You know, that sounds like a ridiculous prediction, but given what the Miami Dolphins can do on offense
last week,
it could be a reality. Look, here's the problem. The last three times the Miami Dolphins have been 3-0, we started buying into the hype. We started saying, this is our year. We've turned a corner. We have a winning culture now. We have the right coach. And then we go and get mollywopped by somebody week four for some reason or another. Last year was the Cincinnati Bengals after Tua Tagovailoa got hurt. The last time before that, I think we went on a losing streak of three or four in a row and just completely erased and face washed out that 3-0 start. Historically speaking, the Miami Dolphins do not win in Buffalo. Like we talked about, it was December 24th, 2016, the last time Miami was able to accomplish this. And even that took overtime and a field goal. All things are pointing for the Miami Dolphins to go in and walk out 3-1, which, by the way, prior to the season, if we came through this four game stretch 3-1, we'd be happy. At this point, we would not be happy. We'd be very disappointed. But as a fan, a lifelong fan of this team, and now somebody who covers this team and watches them daily and talks about them weekly and has a complete lifestyle based around football and the Miami Dolphins, I cannot let it stand, and I will not stand by and say that this team is going to lose to the Buffalo Bills again. This is a different ball game. Tua Tagovailoa has already come out and said he has not had so much fun playing football since his time at Alabama, which, by the way, they were so good then that he was literally having the wide receivers play rock, paper, scissors to see who was going to score next. That's a true story. They all wanted the ball, and he's like, you guys Rochambeau for it, and whoever wins, I'll throw you the ball, and then boom, another touchdown. Now, they aren't doing that, but they're like, which celebration should we have when we score on this next play? I mean, that's the level that this Miami Dolphins offense is playing at. They're cocky, they're confident, they're good, and they're going to go into Buffalo, and they're going to prove it yet again. And all the doubters will have nothing left to say after the Miami Dolphins walk out of Buffalo 4-0, not 0-4 like a certain Super Bowl team that went there four times and lost every single time, but 4-0. Because the Miami Dolphins are going to score more than 16 points in this game. I have them dropping a 30 burger. I'm going to go 35-21. No field goals. Just touchdowns. 35-21, Miami Dolphins, Buffalo Bills. Tua goes for 303. Raheem gets himself a touchdown and over 100 yards. And the Miami Dolphins do a little conga line back to Miami week five with a two-game lead in the AFC East.
Oh, hell yeah.
With that being said, Chris, anything else you'd like to say or talk about before we get out of this very special episode of Welcome to Perfectville?
Fuck Buffalo.
All right. Well, on that, on behalf of the two-time Hall of Famer, of course, my name, Sam Marcoux, and all of the Believe, brought to you by betonline.ag. The only thing left to say is goodbye from Perfectville.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent, being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.